Is daf kuf lamed dalet. The Gemara begins the last line of kuf lamed gimel mer beis. The Gemara quotes in the Mishnah. It says vim amar lo chutz min amatanos pate min amatanos. Let's say the kohen, the tabach, the butcher, there's a kohen, says to the yisro who's buying it, says I'm selling everything except for the matanos. I'm going to keep the matanos for myself. Now, does the kohen have the right? Does the butcher have the right to keep the matanos for himself? Typically, when there's matanos kuna, the owner, the baal bais, has the right to give it to whichever kohen he wants. So, but the Mishnah says, if the Kohen sells him everything except for the Matanos, the Kohen, the butcher, is allowed to keep the Matanos. The Gemara says this is problematic because in Kuf Lam and Dalet Amun Alf, it says, Urminu. It says in the Braisa, Al-Manash, Shematanos Shali, no sein lechol Kohen Shayirza. If the Kohen, the butcher, says to Yisrael, I'm selling you the cow, on condition that you give me the Matanos, the Lach is, he doesn't have to give it to the butcher. The Fabais keeps the Matanos and gives it to whichever Kohen who he wants. So how come the Braisa says he could the Baal Bais chooses which coin, and the Mishnah says that the coin, the butcher, the coin gets to keep the matanos? And the Gemara answers because Amanas Achutz Karamis. You're asking a question. Amanas is very different than Chutz. Our Mishnah says Chutz, and the Braisa says Amanas. What's the difference? Chutz is Shiura. Amanas Lav Shiura. Chutz is leaving out. So the Lashon of Chutz is able to leave it out. Amanas is making a condition. That condition doesn't work. So look at Rashi to make this clear. Rashi writes, Chutz Shiura, four lines down from the top. Lashon Shiur, Mashma, Shishayr HaMatanos V'lo Machron. I'm not selling it to you. I'm selling you everything except for the Matanos. So that was not part of the sale. Fikach Patra Lokeach. The Lokeach is exempt. Sharei Shalkoin Hin. They're owned by the butcher. Fine. Next Rashi. Amanas lav shiru el tana, but to make a condition, hakol machal, I'm selling you everything, and then he's making a condition after I'm selling you everything, including matanos, amanas sheyitnim lo, there you have no right to do that, because there you sold everything first and tried making a stipulation on that which was sold. But the lashon of chutz is, I never sold you the matanos in the first place, I'm holding on to them, and then in that case, the coin gets to keep it. So Gemara says, wait a second. We're many, there's a brayso that has a almanas, and actually couples almanas with chutz, saying that the kohen tabach gets to keep even the almanas case. The Braisa asks, Urminu, almanas shematanos shali, hamatanos shalo. If the kohen tabach says, I'm selling you everything on condition that you give me the matanos, the kohen gets to keep the matanos. So Gemara says, Baha mit pligi, this is the machlokas. They're arguing about whether or not Mar Savar Amnash Shiruhu Umar Savar Amnash Lav Shiruhu. Everyone agrees that Chutz, there certainly the slaughter, the butcher gets to keep it. They argue about, the two brides argue, is Amnash like Chutz and the coin gets to keep it, or Amnash is different and the coin doesn't get to keep it, the Babais gets to decide to whom he wants to give the Matanos. Says the Gemara now, six lines down, the two dots, Amr Lo Machali B'nei Me'eha. We had in the Mishnah, that let's say the butcher sold everything by weight, so and then it turns out that some of the included in the B'nei Me'ayim is the keva, the stomach, so then he has to give back the Baal Bais gives the money, goes to the Kohen, and is able to request the money that he paid for it. He spent, let's say, 50 pounds, for $50, let's say, and turns out two of the pounds was keva, so he's able to request $2 back from the butcher. So Amar Rav, Rav qualifies this halacha, lo shanu ela sheshaka la'atma. Aval shaka lo tabach hadin ima tabach. So this is only true, the case of the Mishnah is only true if the lokeach himself weighed it out. You know, sometimes you go to a bakery, so they let you weigh everything out, take it out, and you just pay for whatever the cost is. So if the lokeach is doing everything on the weighing, so the halacha goes as it stands as the Mishnah. But if the butcher is the one who's doing the weighing, so then the coin's even able to go after the tabach. What does that even mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains around eight narrow lines down, lo shanu, heichadilokach heimanu b'mishkal, that which the purchaser buys by weight, the katani nosin lokeach lekoin, where the lokeach goes directly to the coin. He gives to the coin directly. He gives the matanos, the keva. V'hu chozer. Now the lokeach himself, after paying the coin back his keva, the lokeach goes to the mocher. V'tavei adamim min ha-tabach. Then he goes again, gets the tabach. I mean, in this scenario, the kohen can't go after the butcher. The kohen's only allowed to deal with the lokeach because the lokeach is the one who waited. He took the keva initially. So it's between the kohen and the tabach and the lokeach. This is only true, says Rashi. Sheshaklan lokeach la'asma, when the lokeach did all the weighing. The chayv and the tabach lo nagaben. The tabach wasn't involved. He wasn't giving anything over. Eino ba'al devarim shakon. He's not involved in this particular case. And lefikach, says Rashi, zeh lokeach nosan, the lokeach gives to the kohen, v'hu shol lo adamim. He has to go back to the seller to request the money. Aval says the next Rashi, Shaklan lo tabach hadin nishal kohen umachokaso v'tviyaso af al tabachu. If, however, the tabach is the one who weighed out the b'nei ma'ayim, and he handed it over to lokeach, so then the kohen could go after either one. He could go after either the lokeach who currently has the keva, okay, or he could go after the kohen who is the one who gave him. Rather, go after the tabach who gave him the keva. Rashi explains the tabach chozer aleihem im yesh be'en nosin lekohen. So now, if the kohen says to the butcher, "Wait a second, you gave my keva away, so I'm going after you, the butcher." So then, the butcher has to go chase after the lokeach if it's be'en and say, "Give me the keva back. I need to give it back to the kohen," and then he would have to pay back the money. So that's what Rav Huna, how Rav explains his mission. Comes along Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, "Amar afilu shakel lo tabach adin imo." Even if the butcher were to take it, it's always going to be the kohen always goes after the lokeach, because it goes based on who has the keva at this very moment. And since the lokeach has the keva at that moment, even though the butcher may have given him the keva, the halacha is that the kohen goes after the lokeach. So the Gemara explains what's machlokes, whether you go after the butcher or the lokeach. Lema b'Rav Chista kamiflagi. They're arguing about the statement of Rav Chista. A very famous statement of Chista appears many places throughout Shas. Damar Rav Chista. Gazav lo nisayisha b'ilin. Let's say item was stolen. And the Baal never gave up hope. He was never miyayish. He knew he's going to get the money back at some point. So gazav lo nisayisha b'ilin. Uba'achar v'achlo. And some other guy goes ahead and eats the gazav. So there's one gazlan, and there's another guy who's mazik, the gazela now. So who does he collect from? Does he collect from the gazlan, or does the Baal go ahead and collect from the guy who ate the gezo? So the Gemara says, Ratzimizego, but you could get from either one. You could choose either to take it from the gazlan, or the one who was ochel the gezo. So here as well, the Gemara says, Demar Islay, the Rav Chista, one of them holds like Rav Chista, that's the opinion of Rav, that when the Tabach was the one who waited out and gave it to the Lokeach, so then the kohen has the option, Ratzimizegova. He can either collect from the butcher, or he can collect from the Lokeach. Umar Savar, Rav Asi holds differently. He says, Leslay, the Rav Chista, he doesn't hold the Rav Chista, and he says, you could only go after the one who currently has the Gezem. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Lo, not true. Everybody holds of Rav Chista. The Chuli Almi Isla the Rav Chista. You find that throughout Shas, everyone who holds this way. So what's the machlokus? They're arguing about whether or not matnos kuna can be stolen or can it not be stolen. Is this considered a classic case of a gazal lo nisayisha b'ilim? So Mar Savar Nigzalos, one holds it is. This is a classic case of gazal lo nisayisha b'ilim, where Rav Chista said ratzimizegova. So when the tabach takes the keva and gives it away, he stole matnos kuna. So the kohen has the right to take it either from the tabach or go after the lokeach. Umar Sava, the other opinion holds, a nigzalus, you cannot steal matnas kuna, in which case it does not fall into the regular category of chista, whereby you only chase after the one who currently has the matnas kuna, namely that of the position of Rav Asi. Fine. So just look at Rashi. Rashi explains, why would one hold? There's no gzela. So Rashi explains, Mar Savar Eino Nigzalos, why is there no Gzela possibly by Matnos Kuna? Ein Koach LeGazlan, there is no strength, you have no ability to steal Matnos Kuna. V'chol Zman Chein Be'en, so long as the Matnos Kuna, the Keva, is still intact, Komakam Shaholchen Hachov Mutal Al Mishem Etzlo L'Sata L'Karin. Whoever has it, it's incumbent upon the person who currently has the physical holding of the Keva, he has the obligation to make sure that the Kohen gets it. There is no ability to steal it. For some reason, you can't be gozel. What's the reason why? Perhaps it's because there is no real owner of it. There's no owner of manos kuna. Until you've given it to someone, it's sheva kuna. It's the rights of any coin to receive it. But since no one currently owns it, there's an inability to steal it as well. And therefore, whoever has it in the possession has to just return the manos kuna to the coin. So this is the machlokas between Rav Asi and Rav. The Gemara says, there are those who teach this machlokes in a different way, and as follows. Rav amar matnos kuna nigzalos, Rav Asi amar matnos kuna eina nigzalos. Very clear to the reasoning of Rav and Rav Asi above, it's based on what we just suggested, that whether or not matnos kuna can be nigzalos or not nigzalos.
And if he destroys them or eats them, what happens? What's the lachat for that?
If he destroys them or eats them, so lechor he should go after the person who did destroying it, because no one beforehand is responsible. Whoever had it last is responsible. So if he was mazik, it, you have to go after that person, I would think. Okay, so then the The Mishnah says as follows: Gershin is Geyer, v'hayisil para. So let's say a goy converted; he's now a ger. So a ger is chayv in all mitzvahs in the Torah. So now he has a cow. So that cow is nishchata if it was shechted. So the lach is he responsible to give zera l'chaim v'keva? So it depends when this animal was shechted. If it was nishchata al shalom nisgayer, let's say before he converted while he was still a goy, we know goyim were pater from zera l'chaim v'keva. So he was pater even though he converted now. He still has the zera l'chaim v'keva. We care where he was bisman shechita. If he was a goy b'shas shechita, he's pater. Mishin is Geyer, however, if he only did the Shechita after converting, meaning a full bona fide Jew now, and then the Shechita took place, then he'd be Chayv, he would have to pay Zera L'chaim V'keva.
The Goy's Shechita is good?
The Goy's Shechita. Who said the Goy's Shechita is good?
No, why is it Goy? Zera L'chaim and Keva are from a tray for animal, let's say, that's
you know
what I'm saying? It's not.
If it's a... let's say, So if the guy did it, no, it doesn't mean he didn't necessarily did it. It could be an shechted by a butcher as well. It could be a shochet did it, yeah. So then the Mishnah says, let's say there's a case of a safek, pater. Let's say you're not sure at what point the shechita took place. He was going to the mikveh to do a tfilas ger, and the shochet was shechting it, and they weren't sure the exact timing. So it's a case of a safek, shemotzi mechaveh levaraya, since it's a dini mamnis, when it comes to Zerol HaChayim V'Keva, there's no issur to eat it, but there's a dini mamnis, so we say whenever there's dini mamnis, we leave everything becheskas marikama, we leave it as is, the initial owner, and it's incumbent upon the kohen to prove otherwise if he wants to extract the Zerol HaChayim V'Keva from this ger. So Gemara says, Kiyasar of Demon, or of Demon came back from the Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar Rami le Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, that there was a certain kasha that Rish Lakish had posed to Rabbi Yochanan. What was the kasha? Tanan, our Mishnah teaches us that Safek Pater. And when there's a case of Safek, but Matnaskuna, you're Pater from paying Alma Sveka Lakula. So we see that in regards to Matnaskuna, Safek were Makam. We have a question when it comes to Matnas Anim. The Gemara equates oftentimes Matnos Kuna with Matnos Anim. So this is an example of an equation. So the Gemara says, it appears in the Mishnah in Meseches Peah, Chorei HaNimalm, you have some ant holes. And what happened was, Shebesoch HaKama, that are found amongst the grain, the wheat and whatnot. So if the ant took some of the wheat inside the holes, so all that's considered owned by the Baal Bayis. That's not called Matnos Anim. But let's say shalachar kotzim. So let's say after the harvesting, so they cut all the wheat, the ksira took place. So now there's issues of leket, shich, and peya. So what's the status of any wheat found in these holes in the ground? So the Gemara says hel yodim milanim. That which is on top, we assume was some type of leket shicha, and that goes to the anim hatachtonim. That's on the bottom of the holes. That was from prior to the ksira. That we assume is shel baal habayis. That's how the Tanakhama assumes in this Mishnah. But Rebbe Meir Omer, he argues and says, Hakol la'anim, everything goes to anim. Whether it's the top or the bottom, we don't know at what point the ants took them in. So it's very possible it's all leket, it's all shich, it's all peah. So therefore, Rebbe Meir Omer, Hakol la'anim, shesafek leket leket. Every time there's a suffik by leket, it's a din of a leket. So we see that here, Rebbe Meir is suffik by matnos anim is machmir. And we say above, by suffik matnos kahuna, we're mekil. So what's the difference? So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Al Tak Niktani, don't attack me, don't challenge me here. Shibaloshin Yachid Ani Shone, also, I learned that Rabbi Meir is a Das Yachid. I mean, even though normally Rabbi Meir, who is a Das Yachid, he's normally viewed as he's a Psak. So we view him as a Rabbim normally. So now in this case, this particular, particular example of Rabbi Meir is actually a Das Yachid of Rabbi Meir. How so? The Sadi, the Baisha tells us that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, that only he held that this was position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was not a general position. And therefore, as it says in the Baisha, Safik Leket Leket, Safik Shicha Shicha, Safik Peah Peah. And he therefore is the only one who holds that way, that Safik Manos Anim are we Machmir, but we assume like our Mishnah, that Safik Manos Kahuna, we are actually Mekel. And the same would hold true of Manos Anim, that we're Mekel. So Amar Lo, he says back to him, Al Tishno, so don't teach this to me, that's a Das Yachid. El Beloshim Ben Tadil, I'll even say, let's say Ben Tadil. Who's Ben Tadil? So Rashi explains here that he's a person who's a Shota, some Shota Ba'olam, whose name is Ben Tadil. Even if he quoted Rabbi Meir, I would still embrace the position of Rabbi Meir, I don't care who's quoting him, because HaTaimukamar, it made sense, it was logical. Even if it was a Das Yachid, a Das Shota, this is a logical statement. What was so logical about this? Dama Rish Lakish, my dich, what does it mean in the Pasuk? A Pasuk appears in Tehillim, Ani v'rash hatziku. The poor and the even more poor, rash is even more poor than an ani, hatziku, they were correct What do you mean they're correct? Mayit stiku, we're correct in regards to which halacha? Ilema b'dinim, dinim, when it comes to dine Torah, dine, rather, choshe mishpat, that we were matstik the anivir rasha, we made them innocent. That can't be the case. Say the pasuk says, it's a deraisa, the dalo said, abiribo, we cannot be mahadir, we cannot favor the dal, those who are poor. When it comes to choshe mishpat, who is ever right? It's emes. We don't favor the poor, we don't favor the rich. So it can't be anivir rashit stiku in the world of dine mamonis. So what does it mean, anivir rashit stiku? Ella, tzedek mishilcha v'tein lo. When it comes to tzedakah and chesed, you should always overgive. Meaning, whenever there's a suffix, be nice and give it to them. You're a baal bais, you own this big farm and a big factory. If you have a couple of dollars here and there, give give them extra if there's a case of a suffix. So that makes sense. So that's why we're machmir. When it comes to suffix, matnos aniyim and matnos kuna, we should say lahachmir and give it to them. So that's why we goes against the Mishnah, which says suffix is lakula. So Gemara says no. Amar Rava. Rava says the two cases are very different. Depends on really what's the cheskas marikama. What was the chazaka? And there's a difference between our Mishnah, where the chazaka was that it was pater, and the Mishim Peya is the suffik, the chazaka, whereas here is chayef. Meaning what? Hacha, here in the Mishnah, where he says suffik of Zerel Chaim Vekever, we're makil, that he gets to keep it, because hacha par becheskas patur kaima. We're talking about a situation where the cow had a previous chazaka of being exempt. So it was had a suffik in the first place of being pater, and therefore it's a motzi mechaver al haraya to prove otherwise. But by the kama, by the grains that were growing in the field, by the Mishnah Peir, where we said, Safek Shecha Shecha, B'cheskes Chiyuva Kaimam. The previous status was that your chai, the farmer, has to leave over the Leket Shecha Peya, and therefore we go based on the initial Chazaka, and that's why we're Machmir by the case of a Peir. Not about the general Machalokah, it's about Safek Lakula, Safek Lakula. We always go back to what was the previous Chazaka.
What do we say that specifically that kama was part of Leket?
So if you look at Rashi says here, look at Rashi on 6 Y lines down, he says, Kama, Kishinola l'cha safik b'leket, when there was a safik, in this case a leket, v'atama mida al chazkas. So we want to figure out what was the status quo. Chazaka chiyubahu. Why? Dimei olam hi omed this l'chach, the Shal Yisrael hi. Because this Kama was owned by a farmer who was Jewish, and therefore the assumption is it's going such a case that fell off the grain, it wasn't growing, that's considered a case of a chiv. That's the cheskas marikama, or chazaka of a grain. It's a din of leket. So then the Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, last 4 lines of the page, Yehare Isa, Nasas Achlo Nisgayer, Pater Min Achala. Let's say the goy, before he converts, he needed the dough. So now, if I were to make this dough, it would be chai. But he's a goy. So now he has his dough that he already prepared. It's needed. And a goy is Pater from Achala. He now converts and still has this outstanding dough. He's pater because b'shas gilula when he did the kneading. So then he was a goy at that time. However, mishin is gayer once he converts, and then he needs a dough. He's chayv to be mafresh chalam. Let's say it's a suffik. Let's say we're not sure at what point the kneading took place versus when he converted. Now, how could that case take place? Because the halacha is that you don't have to actually do the kneading, you have to own it. One of the three mitzvahs that the Gemara talks about in Sukkah that you have to own in order to perform the mitzvah is lakachtem lechem b'yom harishon. The lulav, you need to own lulav to mekayim the mitzvah. When it comes to ariso seichem, you have to own the dough for afrashas challah. And the third case, anyone know the third case? Coming up next week, matzaschem. They don't say matzaschem anywhere, but the project says lechem only, it says lechem by challah. So gzeir shava, just like you have to own the dough for hafrash challah, you have to own the matzah to be owed to the matzah. Fine. So we see here that the goy, as long as he owns it, or if when he converts, if he owns it, if someone else does the kneading on my dough, and the chiv is upon me to be mafrash challah. So let's say someone else needs the dough, and he goes to tefilas ger, becomes a ger now. We're not sure the timing, whether it took place before he converted or not. So the halacha is safek, he's chayef. So we see here that we're machmir by a case of safek matnos kahuna. And our Mishnah said above, by a safek, we're mekel unless mosti mechaveil of harayim. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh, the response back is as follows. Safek isur l'chumra, safek mamon l'kula. Depends. If it's a safek isur, we're machmir. And if there's a safek mamon, we're kula. So when it comes to the case of Zerel Chaim Vekeva, there's no isur involved. If a czar were to eat Zerel Chaim Vekeva, there is no isur, it's simply a safek mamon. And by safek mamon, we say where lakula, and if the motzi mechaveir of haraiba, but safek iser, hafrashas chala involves an iser, so then we're going to be machmir and say safek lachumra, and you should be mafresh chala and to give it to the kohen. And the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Chis himself says, v'chein tani Rebchir, Rebchir taught in the Brisa, shmona svekos nemru beger. There were eight different svekos that came with regards to a ger. What are the eight svekos? Arba l'chiv, arba l'ptur. Four of them are going to be machmir, and four of them are going to be mekel. Carbon ishto, it comes to carbon ishto, Rashi explains if a suffix, if a woman gave birth or not, when she, whether she was goy or she was a converted already, we're not sure at what point, I'm not sure how that happens exactly, but somehow there's a suffix whether she was a goy or not when she had given birth. So there's a suffix iser because she's not allowed to eat kalchim, and if she eats kalchim prior to bringing a carbon, she's chayiv kari, so therefore we're machmir that she has to bring a carbon ishto. Second suffix is v'chala, this is the case we just brought above. We weren't sure if you converted yet or not for afrashas chala. We say mafresh chala because there's an iser involved if you were to eat food without separating chala. Bechor behema tameh, if it comes to a peter chamor, so there's an iser to get hana from the animal until one redeemed it. So if there's a suffix there, we're also machmir to redeem it. And bechor behema torah as well, l'chi of this as well, if there's a firstborn kosher animal, there's also an iser involved. These are the four sveikos by a ger, where we're machmir to go ahead with the process. What are the four examples of matnos aniyim, matnos kuna rather, where we are mekel, where there's no iser involved, it's simply a case of dine mamnos, reisha geiz, there's no iser involved, reisha geiz, hamatanos, which are zerah l'chaim v'keva, pidyon haben, upidyon petach hamor, these are all examples of things that are dine mamnos, and not dine iser. Now, pidyon petach hamor, we just said about behema, bechor behema temea, that's also pidyon petach hamor. Right, there's only one type of behema temeya that's a bechor. That's next masecht, actually. The very next masecht, in a week from now, we're going to be learning masechtas becharos. The very first parak talks about peter chamor. So the first case here says, bechor behema temeya, we're machmir. And then it says, pidyon peter chamor, which is the same thing, we're mekel. What's the difference? So one's talking about the chamor itself, that you have to mafresh the chamor. One's talking about the set. When you're poda the donkey, you're mafresh it onto a set, and the set goes to the kohen. So the initial afrasha from the chamor onto the set, that must take place. That's involving the iser. But the next thing you're supposed to normally do is give the set to a kohen. That's simply dine monos. That's manos kuna. That's where you're able to keep it for yourself. So you have to be mafresh the chamor onto the set, but you're allowed to keep the set to yourself in this case of a suffix of a ger. So then the Gemara says, Kiyasa Rabin Amar Kama Kama Ramila. When he came, he raised the question by Kama Kama. If you look at Rashi, explains what's going on here, three lines down, Rashi says, Kama Kama Ramila. Masnisa Harisa Ashkach, he found a different Brisa, Li Rabbi Meir, Depatar Bekama Shoger, that he said the case of a Safek Kama, you actually, Niksara, Kodum Shinizgayer, Safek Mishinizgayer, Ramya Aha, Dekatani Safek Leka Leka. He had one brice that thought Suffolk, he gets to keep it. And the other brice we saw above by Suffolk Leket, he has to give over. V'shani La, and he answered the question by saying, Ben Agra Ani Shona Osa. One of them is talking about Dasa Yachid, and he had, again, a similar structure in this back and forth. Okay, the Gemara now says three lines down on Kuf Lamed Dalet Amr Beis. Levi Zara B'Kishar. Levi was once planting in an area called Kishar. L'hava Anim L'mishkal Leket, and there were no Anim there. They lived in a very wealthy community, and there were no Anim to collect the Leket. So what happened? Also, the Kamer of Sheshes, he went to Rav Sheshes to ask what he should do with the leket. So Amar Lah, he says, La'ani v'la'ger tazav osam, you should lead them to the ani, to the ger, and the Gemara Darshan, v'lo la'orvim, v'lo la'atlafim, not to leave them to the birds. So if you leave them and the birds are going to get them, there is no obligation to leave them at that point. You could take them home, and it doesn't say what to do with them, but it seems like you're allowed to keep them. So then the Gemara asks a question. L'chor, it should apply to all of them, yeah. So then the Gemara says, Meisiv asks the Gemara, it says, Ein mivin atchuma, a person should not bring to the Kohen the chuma, lo migorin le'ir, lo mivin yishuv, he shouldn't transfer different places from the farm to the city to wherever the Kohanim are, vim ein sham Kohen, but if there is no Kohen, he should be socher par, he should rent at least out a cow and schlep the stuff, umiviyah, to the city, mivnei hafsid chuma, so he shouldn't lose a chuma. So how come by the case of the aniyim we said above, that if there's nothing available, you don't have to go schlepping after the Anim, you could keep them for yourself. By the case of the Kohanim, we say, no, you do have to schlep after the Kohanim and find the Kohanim. What's the difference? The Gemara says there's a difference between Matnos Kuna of Chuma versus that of Matnos Anim. Why? Because Shiny Chuma, the Tavla, we know the Chuma is going to be tevel. So long as you have not separated, it's going to be an iser tevel. But lo sagid lo mafishle, it's not enough without separating. You have to separate it, otherwise it's going to be an iser tevel. So since the iser of tevel and chuma is much more serious, you have to vadai separate the chuma, and you have to find the coin to give it to. But by matnas aniyim, there's no iser involved at all. If you weren't mafish, it wasn't a big deal, and therefore one could keep it for themselves if there are no aniyim. Because there's an iser chiyum misa to the hefsid of the kohen, though. It's going to be mafsid of the kohen if you just leave it there. So then the Gemara says, Hare matanos, when it comes to Zolachayim v'keva, delo tavle, there's no iser tevel. We know if a czar were to eat Zolachayim v'keva, there's no iser involved. And even though there's no iser, yet still we have a brisa that says you do schlep it around. I mean, it's not only by a case of chuma where you can't eat it, and therefore have to give it to the kohen. Even things that don't have an iser of an eating, we still see you should schlep around and look for the kohen. As it says in the brisa of Tanya, Malkum shenagu limlog bagalm, the place where they had the practice of, what do they call this thing, like boiling it, soaking the skin, the meat, in the water to help remove the hair, lo yafshid es hazra, you should not skin the zra, which goes to the kohen. And lahafshis arosh, you shouldn't, when you're going to skin the head, lo yafshis alechi, leave the skin attached to the lechi still. V'mein sham kohen, there's no kohen to give it to, malan osa bedamim, so then you have to assess the value. V'ochon, then you're allowed to eat the zerol chayim v'keva, v'pnein hefzer kohen, but leave money aside to make sure to pay back the money that's rightfully the kohanim. So here we say we got tevel out of the picture. It's no longer a question of tevel. So we ignore the case of chuma. We still have a case, though, Matnas Kahuna, where you do have to make sure that the coin's receiving the money. But my Matnas Aniyim, we didn't say leave money aside for the Aniyim. If there are no Aniyim, keep them for yourself. So what's the difference between Matnas Aniyim, where you could keep it, and Matnas Kahuna, where you say you can't keep it? So Gemara says, Shiny Matanos Kahuna, Matnas Kahuna are different than Nesina Ksibihu. It says in the Pasuk, Menasin Lakoin, Hazor Lachayim Vekeva, you have to do a Nesina. There's a mitzvah of Mais in Nesina. And it doesn't say ma'is in a sina by an ani. It says by an ani, la'ani la'ger tazov al-sam, leave them. But only leave them if they're going to be available. But if no anim are going to be around, then there is no obligation to leave them. But by matnas kahuna, it says, v'nos and l'koin, you have to actually physically give it to them. So that's a very important fundamental difference between matnas anim and matnas kahuna. The Gemara says, now that we establish this, that it says Nesina by Manus Kuna by the case of Zerol Chaim Vekeva, Hashadas Lahachi, once we establish this point, Chuma Nami Nesina Ksibe. We don't have to answer the question above by Chuma, why look for the Kohen, because it's Tevel involved. Even without the Tevel question of Chuma, it also says by Chuma, the Reishis, the Ganchav, Tiroshchav, Yitzarcha, Titein Lo, the Mais Nesina, and for that reason, even by Chuma, you have to go after the Kohen to give it to him. As opposed to, again, Manus Nesina, where it says Tazov, you don't have to leave them. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ve'ela tazov yisera lamali. So we see that it says the word tazov a couple of times by Leket. And so the question, why did it say it twice? One tazov we learned before to teach me that you don't have to go after the honey, you could just leave it there if they're available, and if they're not available, keep them for yourselves. But it says tazov two times, so what do we learn from the second tazov? Yisera lamali. So Gemara answers, L'chadatani, the Braisa teaches us that ha-mafkis karma, a person who is mafkis property, the lach is a person's mafkis property in general, he's parted from paying all the matnas anim. But let's say after being mafkir, the next morning, l'shachar, hishkim u'batar, he goes ahead and starts working the land. He takes ownership of it again. So one may think that he's pater from all the matnas aniyim, because since there was a moment in time where it was hefker, he should be pater. So the pasuk says, no, chayiv beferet v'olos v'shichu v'peya. He asked it, because since it says tazov, repeating tazov, even when you reclaim it from hefker, you have to again tazov. That's the double lashon tazov. So we say, like, you know, it says, Shalech to Shalech Afil Me'a Pamim, to send the bird 100 times even, to return the object, Hashem Tashivim Afil Me'a Pamim. Here as well, Azov Tazov, it says, leave it, even Me'a Pamim, even if you reclaim it from Hefker, each time you have to Tazov, leave it aside, you can't collect it. With the one exception of Patamina Maestros, so that's the one example where if he reclaims it, he would not have to pay Maestro in that particular case.
It would seem from here that if he has a Goren, Mishtameres,
Uh-huh. Could be that the whole idea is just simply not to be a mafsid kohen, yeah, as long as it's preserved.
If he doesn't have, then he has to bother, but if he has, he can wait.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Ahu saka de dinaridas lebe medrasha. So there's a certain bag of gold that somehow made its way to the base medrash. And kadam Rabbi Ami v'zachaba. Rabbi Ami, it seems that this was a package of a tzedakah, so Rabbi Ami came ahead and he collected this. So they challenged Rabbi Ami for doing this. He said, "Hey, Chayav Hachi, I was one able to do this." V'haksiv, it says in the pasuk, "V'nasan," you have to give it. You can't just take it on your. You can't grab it. V'lo sheyit tell me atma, not to take it on your own. Rabbi Ami nami laniim zachaben. He wasn't taking it for himself. He was taking it for others. He was doing the ma'isa zechiyah on behalf of the others, and therefore that's not considered a ma'isa of netila. Ibais emo. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests. Adam Chashev Shiny. When a person Adam Chashev, that he Rabbi Ami was a Rosh Hashiva, so their Rosh Hashiva is different. He's allowed to take on his own without being given. The Brisa tells us by a Kohen Gadol, and the Gemara is learning this not only to a Kohen Gadol but to other important positions of authority. It says by the Kohen Gadol in Parshas Emor, "Va'Kohen Hagadol Me'achiv," the Kohen Gadol who's greater from all his brothers. What means greater from all his brothers? Sheyeh Gadol Me'achiv Benoi. He should be more handsome than the others. Bechachman, wisdom, ubosher, and wealth. So Achim, others say, "Minayin Shim Ein Lo Letei." He has no wealth. He has everything else. He checks a box for Noi. He checks a box for Chachma, but he doesn't have the Osher. He didn't do well in business. How do we know? Shim Ein Lo She'achav HaKohen Megadlen Oso, that his brothers have to give money to make sure he got more wealth than his brothers. Tamalomer VaKohen HaGadol Me'achav Galo Mishalachav. He should be raised above through wealth from his brothers. So there's an Indian to give money to the Rosh Hashiva, to give money to the Kohen Gadol. So here as well, he had every right to take it first, because since he was Rosh Hashiva, he had to be elevated in a monetary way from his brothers. Okay. The Mishnah now tells us, oftentimes the Gemara does that, it tells us only at the end what exactly we've been talking about the whole time. Like Maseches Gittin is a great example. No one knows what get is until you get to the last parak of the whole Masechta. So here as well, no one knows exactly what a Zerah L'chaim Akev is until you finally get to this last Mishnah. So this really doesn't help much anyways, unless you have a picture in front of you to really appreciate what's going on here. But what the Mishnah does say is, Ezu HaZerah, what's called the Zerah, Minat Perek Shel Arkuva Ad Kaf Shel Yad. So the Zerah is talking about the four legs, referring to the four leg, the part from the carpus to the shoulder blade, which is the upper half of the four leg. So it's like the shoulder part, our shoulder down to the elbow, that equivalent of the animal, the right that right arm of the animal. But then it says Behusha Nazir, the same exact area of the Nazir we give of the Shlamim, the Shok. The Shok is the back thigh that goes to the coin. So that Shok of the back leg is the equivalent area of the front arm. So that, again, the Zerah is the top, like in a human, be the bicep area, the shoulder to the elbow, and the Shok would be the thigh, the top part of the leg. So then the Mishnah says, "Ukenegdo beregel b'shok." So that's the hind leg. Fine. Rabbi Huda Omer shok me aperek shel akuva ad sovech sheregel. He thinks the thigh is from the tarsus to the knee joint. Okay, I don't know the differences here. I don't know if the pictures point them out exactly, but some technical points about where exactly you draw the line for the shok. So now the Mishnah says, "Ezu lechi." What's the lechi? So it says the min aperek shel lechi ad pika shel gargaris. So from the joint of the jaw to the opening of the trachea. Okay, that's the area of the lechi. So lechaim here, they show in the picture as well. The article does show exactly what part of the animal that is. So Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan has a roa, the arm, zezra yamin. It's referring to the right arm, not the left arm. Ato mezezra yamin, you think it's referring to the right arm. Oeinu elezra lesmol. Maybe it's referring to the left foreleg. Tamalomar hazroa. So my Talmud has hazroa referred to the right. It doesn't say yamin there. So Gemara explains, Kedama Rava, Hayarech, it says Hayarech, and referring to the Gidan Asha, Hamayumenes Shebiyarech, the one that's more distinguished, they say. So Hachanami Hazirah, Behamayumenes Shebiyarech, the one that's more distinguished, which is always the right one. That's the Joshua. Hazirah is referring to the right one. Palachayim, says the Gemara, Lamai Ha'asa, what are we coming to learn from the word Halachayim, the extra hay there? So Lahavi Temer Shebirosh Kvasim, if there's any wool on the head of the sheep, or or the beard of the goats, so that to also include that you give to the Kohen as well. Vakeva lamai also, what's learned from the extra hay hakeva? Lahavi chelav shagabe keva, the fat that surrounds the stomach, that's also v'chelav shibasoch hakeva, that which is within the chalav, the milk that's within the stomach, that also, all of that goes as a unit, as an entity, to the Kohanim. Tamar Rabbi Yeshua taught us that Kohanim Nagu Bo'ayin Yafeh, the Kohanim adopted a very nice minhag of being very generous. U'nasanehu l'abaylam, they would give to the Kohanim. So they would give the chalav and the chalav. Even though the chalav and chalav really goes to the Kohen, based on the pasuk HaChalav, they're very nice and let the Baal Bayis keep the milk and keep the fat. So Gemara Medayik is Medayik time of the Nagu, only because they had such a nice practice in doing so. Lo Nagu, if they didn't have such a practice, if you live in a community where the practice didn't exist, Didehu, the Kohen would get to keep both the Chalev that surrounds the stomach and the Chalav that may be inside the stomach. Gemara now says, Darshi Chamur is Hayomim. Those Darshanim would make an interesting Joshua that they don't explain here, but I'm sure there's a lot of panemius here as to the connection of Zerah Chaim and Keva are parallel to the Maisa Pinchas. And the Gemara just brings the Psukim, but doesn't elaborate much more than that. So the Gemara says, Hazroa Keneged Hayad, V'chein Hu Omer, V'yikach Romach B'yado. The Zerah represents the hand that Pinchas took the spear in the Yado. L'chayim is connected to Tefillah. The jaw represents the davening, the mouth. It says in the pasuk, "V'chein hu omer vayamud Pinchas vayifal." He davened, and the cave of the stomach is k'mashmo, the center area of "V'chein hu omer ves ha'isha el kavasa." So you see, the three parallel matnas kohanim are being connected to Pinchas, which of course connects more. Pinchas himself became a kohen in light of this ma'aseh. There's a lot here to what to work with, but not for now. So then the Gemara says, "Vayter betana ma'isi le'mehacha." The Braisa teaches from a different place that we know that the Zeroa is referring to the right foreleg as opposed to the left Zeroa. It says, Shokayamim, they have to give, the Torah itself says, you have to give the right leg. This is referring to the, from the Shlamim, you give the Shokayamim, it says explicitly. And that's Einli Ela Shokayamim. I only know the Shokayamim of Shlamim goes to the Kohen. Zeroa Mukdashim Inayin. How do I know that the right Zeroa goes to the, for the Nazir as well, to the Kohen? Tamalomar Chuma, it says in the Pasuk, Chuma by Shlamim, that's the extra word. It says in the Pasuk, Shok HaYomim Titnu L'Chuma L'Kohen. So what's Chuma coming to add? That's coming to include, even by the Nazir, referring to the right leg. Zero Chulim Minayin. How do I know when it comes to Chulin animals, the mitzvah of Zero L'Chaim V'Keva, that Zero is also referring to the right leg? Tamalomar Titnu, an extra word as well. Tell me all in the same Pasuk where it says Shok HaYomim, it's including that for the Zero of the Nazir and the Zero of the Chulin, all of them is the right. Right jaw. So Ezu Lachi, which is the Lachi, which is the jaw. Minaperek shel Lachi v'ad pika shel gargaris, the Mishnah said, from the joint of the jaw to the opening of the trachea, so the top of the area where the animal shechted. V'hatani, the Braisa says, Nola ubeis hashchita ima. But doesn't Braisa say, it doesn't stop by the beis hashchita, it includes the beis hashchita, it includes the areas of the neck where the animal is shechted from, which is more expansive than what our Mishnah seems to indicate. And the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, this is not a contradiction. Ha Rabbanan ha Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis. It's a machlokas here. Now the machlokas is really not a machlokas halach lemaisa. They both actually agree that the same area of the Beis HaShechita is being taken. They're arguing about what's called Beis HaShechita. But they're all agreeing that you take the same part of the animal. So the Gemara explains, the Sanya, when it comes to Mugremes Psulim, Mugremes was one of the Psulim of HaShechita, that the HaShechita was done above the trachea, so then it would be possible. So hey, the Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas al Mugremes Shik Shera, he actually thought it would be kosher. So the way they explain this is that not really arguing about, they're just arguing about what they're calling the Beis HaShechita. But they both agree that's really the same place. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, where did Rashi go? He said, the Olam Ad HaPik of Lokasha. Rashi, we have a different girsa in the Gemara here. But Rashi, the Olam Ad HaPik of Lokasha, really goes to the same spot, right above the top of the trachea. Bryce at the Karile Beis HaShechita, Rabbi Chanina, the Mach HaShechita, Lamala Mi Beis HaBliya. He allowed you to shecht above the trachea, which is not where we allow it. So he calls Beis HaShechita higher up, but for us it's not good enough. So they all agree it's the same area. The question is, where is the Beis HaShechita? Is Beis HaShechita lower down, or is the Beis HaShechita higher up? And they really all are in agreement. And then the Gemara concludes, the Ibaizem, alternatively, Harabanan, Hava Harabanan, they're both the position of Rabanan, Umay Ima. When it says Ima, what does it mean Ima in the Mishnah? It says, Ima in the Braisa, Ima de Behema. It means Ima goes with the Behema. The Ima, the Beis HaShechita doesn't go with the Lechi, Ima stays with the Behema and goes back to the initial owner, that the owner gets to keep the Beis HaShechita, and not that we're lumping it together with the Lechi. Hajj al-Achazra, Balachayim, Yisrael, Shem, Yopit, Tikal tomorrow, but the next paragraph is the Reish HaGez.